Alhamdulillahi hamdan muafiyan li ni'amih mukafiyan li mazidi wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa junudi amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim qul ya ibadiyalladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah innallaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a innahu huwal ghafurur rahim wa qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Quite a few people ask me, what's this program about, the love triangle? What's this triangle about? So I'm sure we heard about the Bermuda Triangle. Although there may be different explanations of the Bermuda Triangle, one explanation is, it's actually a fact, that many a times in history it has happened, when ships or aircrafts came to this part of the ocean, then they got sucked in, and it was the end of that ship or that end of that aircraft. To such an extent, normally that aircraft or ship may send a distress signal. There was no distress signal that was sent. Similarly, the compass just malfunctions at that time. Now, what's the reason behind it? Whatever it may be, whether it's some jinnat there, or it's some superstition, or it may be some force, we're not going into that. But the point is that when something comes into this triangle, then it gets sucked into this triangle, and things go haywire. In the exactly same manner, there is something called love. When a person is caught up in this haram love triangle, not halal love, for the wife, then it won't apply. A haram love triangle, what happens is a person gets sucked into it. And then his brains also malfunctions. His whole compass in life malfunctions. And then he does things that he normally won't do. He does certain things that if he thinks about it himself, hey, why did I do something like this? But normally I'm not that kind of a person. For that one girl and I did that kind of thing. So things go off in his life. He loses his direction. He loses his compass in life. Why? Because of him getting caught up in this triangle. Now obviously, we don't want to go further into the harms of a love triangle and what happens in it. But we want to show the way out or the way to avoid it. Maulana had discussed certain points. The first point, A, Allah consciousness. I wish to expound on this point. This is such a powerful braking system. You know, when you have a good car, the faster the car, the better the brake system you need to have. Because if you're doing that speed, but you can't brake, what's going to happen? You're going to meet in an accident. So, presently, our lives are moving very fast. As a youngster, the challenges that we face are much more than the challenges that people previously faced. But what we need to understand is handling those challenges correctly, resisting that temptation will be more rewarding. The thawab you will get will be even more. It's difficult. But when something is so difficult, then the rewards also will be more. So in the similar manner, when life is going so fast, the speed is going so fast, you know, people say, youngsters generally say, that my father can't understand me. My parents can't understand me. This is a common complaint. We feel our life is going too fast, is going in such a way, we're in the fast lane. And because of that, the people around me not understanding the challenges that we have. So when we're moving in that fast lane, we need a very, very powerful brake system. So you'll find a car, a supercar, the braking system will be better. In the old days, they didn't have ABS system. They didn't have the advanced braking system that we have today. All this had to come into place because of the speed of the vehicle. So today we need to learn a powerful braking system. A braking system that when haram is in front of us, we can press dead brakes. Dead brakes. Immediately we can stop. Without even skidding. And without even spinning. We need that kind of braking system. And what's that braking system? The braking system of the consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we have this in our mind, that my Allah is watching me, the easier it will be for us to stop from that haram, from that temptation. Whatever it may be, whether it be some love relationship or any other thing that's tempting us. There are those temptations out there. It's calling us all the time. But when we have this consciousness, this awareness, Allah is watching me. And the proof of this, to show us that this consciousness and awareness can stop us. Imagine, or don't imagine, cause a problem. There's a very, very, very pretty girl. And her father is mad. Mad-o. And he's trigger happy. So now she's standing in front of you with all the glory, all the beauty. And the father is next to you. He got his barrel on your brain box. And you dare lift up your eyes, I will press the trigger. And you know this man, he's not just threatening, like how you get the cardboard gangsters, hold me back. Hold me back, youngsters. That's not like that. He means it. He blew many people's brain box out. Now that kind of father, and he's standing with the gun on your head, and his daughter is in front of you. At that time you'll say, Mona, but it's too hard. I just have to look. Will any youngster say that? That time automatically your eyes just won't lift up. You want to lift it up, you don't lift up. That's that braking system. Why? Because you've got the consciousness and awareness of that man standing next to you, and you got the consciousness of that gun and what that gun can do to you. So because we've got that consciousness of what can happen, that's why automatically we're pressing brakes. Even if we want to press the accelerator is not moving, the car is not moving. Why? Because of that consciousness. Now if at every given time in our life, we have that consciousness and awareness that Allah is watching me, then it will be practically impossible for us to break any command of Allah. When we have that consciousness of that father, and we've got conviction, yaqeen on what he can do, then, and there's a possibility that maybe he'll press the trigger, but something will happen, the gun won't work. It happened many times. The person pressed the trigger, something went wrong. It never shot. That's a possibility. But despite that, you're not going to say, alright, maybe it won't work today, let me try it. You're not going to take the chance. Why? What if it works? Then you got a major problem. So the power of this consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now actually my topic was love stories. We're not going to give some hectic love stories. Inshallah we'll try and give a few examples of genuine incidents that have happened in the past. Where a person was on the verge of committing the sin. On the verge of committing the sin. But then at that time he pressed brakes. And the same braking system of what? Inni akhafullah. I fear Allah. My Allah is watching me. So this consciousness made him press brakes immediately. There are many incidents of this nature. We will try and discuss one or two incidents. Time is of the essence. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimullah has mentioned one incident. He says once a pious man saw a blacksmith. A blacksmith in the old days was working with fire. And he'll put the iron on the fire, iron rod on the fire to get it to melt or to soften, and then he will make whatever he needs to make with it. But normally, the person will have some instruments to put that iron rod into the fire. But he saw this person, this blacksmith, he's taking the rod with his bare hands and putting it in the fire. One is you can try it on the braai stand maybe, when the fire is low, you don't have tongs, you can try it. But here it's a raging fire and you're taking a piece of rod and placing it in that fire. So this is something very, very strange. When he saw this, he said, this must be a very big buzruk. Very pious person. What a karamat he got. He can take his hand and put it in the fire. So he went up to him and he told him, please make dua for me. So that person told him, I'm not the buzruk you think me to be. I'm not a pious person. But then how you got this? This is something that even the pious people, normal, a pious person can't do this. He'll get burnt. There were very few people who didn't get burnt with fire. Ibrahim alayhi salam, one, two other people who didn't get burnt with fire. And here, you got this great gift. So he says that there's a very strange story behind this gift of mine. This person requested, if you don't mind, please tell me the story. Tell me the story, the strange story. So he says, one day I was here in my shop, and a woman came. And he says, I never saw a more pretty face than that. This was the prettiest face I ever saw. And she came, she was begging. She asked something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can you please help me? So he says to her that if you want help, I'll take you home. She already understood something not right here. She can give me the money here, you want to take me home. So she thought for a moment and she goes away. Now after some time she comes back and she comes with the same request, please help me. So when she came with that same request of help, he says, I'll take you home, I'll help you. He was talking about some other help. He wanted to help himself. So anyway, this woman now, she's in a predicament, she's in a situation. She says, alright, I'll come. She goes to the house. She tells him, see, I've got young children at home that are starving. Can you give me some money? I will go, I will feed them and I'll come back. He says, you sure? He made her take qasam, all the qasams. I don't know how many qasams we may be taking, and we don't even mean it. So all the qasams he could make her take, he made her take all those qasams. That you'll come back. So she says, I'll come back. She goes, she feeds her children and she comes back. Now he takes her in the room, and he closed the door. So she asks him, why are you closing the door? He says, khawfam minan nas. Out of fear of people. That's why I'm closing the door. Out of fear of people, people mustn't see. So she asked him, Ala takhafu min rabbin nas? You are afraid of people and they mustn't see you. Aren't you afraid of the Rabb of people? Aren't you afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He can see you. Whether you are hiding under your blanket and watching something, maybe your mother and father don't know what's happening, but Allah is watching you at that time. Whatever the situation may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Sometimes that youngsters say, no, me, I'm an operator. They don't know how to catch me. Don't worry. I'm too smart. And as long as you don't get caught, you must operate. As long as you don't get caught. Sometimes this spills over after marriage also. As long as the wife don't catch you, you can carry on. But I'm sure the recent happenings in Turkey, what happened, certain journalists was executed, etc. This must be a lesson for us, for every person, that there's no such thing like covering your tracks. When special forces of a country were sent on a special mission, and they did so much to cover their tracks, to this extent that they had someone leaving that place with the same clothing of that man. So much they did, in order to cover their tracks, they still got caught. I'm sure we're not so smart like that. We don't have that kind of advanced systems like how they had. So, when Allah wants to expose, there's no such thing like a person can run away. He can avoid it. So, out of fear of people, now he's closing the door. She tells him, Ala takhafu min rabbin nas. Aren't you afraid of the Rabb of people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what she says, and this is what he says, this is our normal answer also. Innahu ghafurur rahim. Allah is ghafurur rahim. Allah will forgive. Allah has mercy. Anyway, this didn't work. Now he's about to commit that haram with her. And he sees that this woman is shivering. She's shaking. She's crying. So he asked her that what is the reason for you crying in this manner? Why are you behaving in this manner? So she replies and she says that خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. I have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had the fear of people. She says, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am crying and trembling in this manner. So, and then she tells this person, she tells him that if you allow me to go, I will make two du'as for you. One du'a is that Allah will save you from the fire of this world, and secondly, Allah will save you from the fire of Jahannam. So this person now, when he hears this du'a, she's trying every way to come out of the predicament that she was in. When he hears this du'a, he says, alright, no problem. I will accept this. I will accept this condition. You can keep the money I gave you, and this du'a I want. And then he says to her that I am letting you go khawfan min Allah, out of the fear of Allah. And this is that same breaking system we are speaking about. The man could do what he wanted to do. He had that woman in the position that he wanted her to be in. He helped her. She was in a predicament. She was in a situation. And she was forced. He could do whatever he wanted to do. But at that time, it was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that stopped him. He says, after she left, now I see a dream. In the dream, I see a very, very beautiful woman. And this woman says to me, Jazakallahu anna khaira. May Allah bless you and grant you the best of rewards on our behalf. So I ask her, who are you? She says, I am the mother of that girl who you left out of the fear of Allah. And that mother now makes dua for him and says, may Allah save you from the fire of this world and the fire of akhirat. So he asks, he says, can I ask you, who are y'all? Because y'all seem to be some very special people. One dua and everything is working out for y'all. So who are y'all? She says that we are from the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then this man thinks of the ayat where Allah says, Allah will keep the family of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam pure. Innama yuridu Allahu liyudhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahlal bayti wa yutahhirakum tathira. And he says, because of that, you see this blessing that I have, that I can turn the iron rod in the fire without it burning me. And I hope, just as that first dua was accepted, that I won't be burnt with the fire of this world, I hope the second dua will be accepted, that I won't be burnt with the fire of akhirat, with the fire of Jahannam. So what happened? What was it that stopped him? It was just that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the thing that we need to remind ourselves all the time. And we need to bring it into our lives. If it worked for them, it will work for us now. Yes, our challenges are great. But the challenge of woman was there, the challenge of woman is now. The same thing. The challenge at time is a challenge now. How they save themselves, we can save ourselves. Obviously, we will have to follow the same solutions. One more incident. Another more strange incident than this. In 630 after Hijrah, in Egypt, in Cairo, there was a governor. And he narrated this incident. In 630, he narrated this incident. He says, once we went to some outskirts of the town. Out of Egypt, we went to some outskirts. And one person had hosted us. We became his guest. He prepared food for us. But we're looking something not looking right. He is quite brown in complexion, but his children are very fair. Now when we see something like what happened, they picked up the wrong child from the hospital. Something not looking right here. The children are fair, but the father is brown, quite dark in complexion. So they asked him that, can we ask you the question that your complexion and your children's complexion is a very, very big difference. What happened here? So he says that there's a very, very strange story. Laha hadithun ajib. No, he says first that their mother is actually a white woman. Their mother is a white woman, a European white woman. Now in Egypt, you're talking about a European wife at that time. Now obviously people travel across the world, people go over to other places, migrate, etc. In those days it wasn't so common. So 630 after Hijrah. Very, very long, many, many centuries ago. So you got a white wife. How you got a white European wife? So he says, it's a very, very strange story. He says, please, can you tell us the story? So he says, what happened was that I was a cotton farmer. And I spent 500 gold coins invested 500 gold coins in my crop. So I planted and then I harvested. I had my crop and I began to sell. But the price of cotton was very low at that time in Egypt. Because the price was very low, I realized, forget making profit, I'm going to suffer a loss. I'm not going to even cover my cost. So people told me, you rather go to some other place, you rather go to Syria, to Sham, that was the bigger Syria at that time, not just Syria, Palestine, etc. You rather go to that area and maybe you will make more money. So he goes, and he goes to a sea town, to a coastal town in Palestine. So he goes there and he starts selling. Some people bought, and obviously they bought at a good price, but they asked for terms. Now when they asked for terms, he doesn't live here. He just went to sell. He had to live there for some time until he'll get back his money. So some of them up to 6 months terms he had given them. So he opened a shop. Whatever was remaining, he opened the shop. Now he began to sell in that shop to recoup that money of his, and he had to wait for all those people to pay him back. So he started, and now he begins to sell. Until one day, he says a woman came there, a young girl came there, a European girl. Now this was the time of the Crusaders, when the Crusaders had invaded the Muslim lands. So there was some type of agreement, therefore he could go there, but this was under the European control, the control of the Crusaders. So he says that this European girl came in, and he says a very important point. He says, وَنِسَاءُ الْإِفْرِنْجِ يَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ بِلَا نِقَابِ. He says, the European woman used to walk in the markets without niqab. What it means? The Muslim women were not walking without niqab. It was normal for a Muslim woman to be walk covered. That's why I saw her face. And he says, I was, فَرَأَيْتُ مِنْ جَمَالِهَا مَا أَبْهَرَنِي. When I saw that face, I was scoped, in our terms. Elderly people, mark the language. The program is meant for the youngsters. Although you're welcome, but we'll address them in their language. I was scoped. I was blown away. I never saw something like this in my life. If we see something like that, hey, you know what? I did some good deed today. Allah showed me something. Na'uzu billah. That haram, how Allah showed you? No haram. It's not a ni'mat. Not a favor. So he says, I was scoped by this, by the beauty that I saw in front of me. And then he says, what I did was, I gave her a discount. Now this is what we need to understand. When a person is involved in a haram relationship, a love relationship, then forget his deen suffering, his dunya will suffer. How many people have lost their businesses because of that? How many empires have crumbled because of one woman? How many dynasties have come to an end because of one woman? How many governments have crumbled because of one woman? Put one woman there and the whole thing is over. So, he says, now I gave her discount. He came to recoup all his money. He wanted to make money, that's why he came. But now he's giving a discount. It wasn't a Black Friday deal or end of the season deal. It was called a love deal. He gave that discount. So now she got discount. She's coming back. She came back. And she was coming with an elderly woman. He gave further reduced, better discount. After a couple of times they came, one day he speaks to the old woman and he says that I am mad in love with this girl. That was the mother. He says, كَيْفَ تَتَحَيَّلِينَ لِي? What plan you can make for me? Come make a plan, man. So, when he says that, she says it will cost you 50 gold coins. 50 gold coins. Now we're not sure what was the value of that gold coin, but if you have to equate it, according to the Kruger Rand, it's about 19,500 Rand for one Kruger Rand. Times that by 50. Hey, big money he's paying. But again, the person won't worry now his brains. You see that Bermuda Triangle. The compass is malfunctioning. The brains are not working. Why? Because now there's something else that's controlling his mind. It doesn't make business sense also. Doesn't make business sense. Many a times, the companies will send a rep. They'll send one young, sweet girl as a rep. What she got to do? She doesn't even know about the product properly. Why? Because she's selling herself, not the product. Now the man, because he likes her, he'll just give an order. He's not thinking about it nicely. Do I need this product in my company, in my business? Is it a good product? Is it selling well? Not worrying about that. He says, what do you know, this good, sweet girl now, hey, you know what, I have to now just keep her happy. So because of that, the person now, it doesn't make business sense, but now he's getting involved. So nevertheless, this person now, he says to the woman, she says, 50 gold coins. He says, no problem. 50 gold coins, I'll give it. He pays the money. She says, I will meet you. And he had a very, very nice place. Ideal. كَانَ الدَّارِ مُطِلَّةٌ عَلَى الْبَحَرِ. It was overlooking the ocean. Penthouse. Pearl, Amklanga, penthouse overlooking the ocean. He says, I got everything ready for that night. I paid so much. He says, I got all the food. Min ma'koolin wa mashroobin wa sham'in wa halwa. I got all type of sweets, all type of food, drinks, whatever it is. Everything was set for the occasion. He says, it was a moonlit night also. I'm not, no masalas from my side. This is all in the kitab. Risalatul Mustarshidin. We can check it up there. Those that want to see it. He says, it was a moonlit night. And now on that balcony, I'm there with this woman. We ate nicely, enjoyed. And now was the time that I was waiting for. And at that time, at that opportune moment, a thought comes to my mind. Ama tastahi min Allah? Aren't you feeling ashamed of what you're doing? Aren't you feeling ashamed of Allah? That anta rajulun gharib? You are a stranger, you are a foreigner in this land. وَتَعْصِ اللَّهَ مَعَ نَصْرَانِيَّةً And you are disobeying Allah with a Christian woman. How can you do something like this? So this thought came in my mind. أَمَا تَسْتَحْيِ مِنَ اللَّهِ Really, if we just have to constantly remind ourselves of the same thing. أَمَا تَسْتَحْيِ مِنَ اللَّهِ Aren't you feeling ashamed of Allah? What you're doing? Whenever any thought of haram, or any opportunity of haram, it can be that golden opportunity also. That opportunity that we are looking for our whole life. That opportunity can come. But then just this thought is enough to pull us back and to make us put dead brakes. Aren't you ashamed of Allah? How can you be behaving in this manner? So he says that immediately I make tawbah. And I say, Allahumma inni ushiduk. Oh Allah, I'm making you the witness that I'm not going to touch this woman. I'm not going to touch this woman and I'm going to stay away from the sin. Haya'am mink wa khawfam min iqabik. Out of haya and out of feeling ashamed of you and out of fear from your punishment. Same consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it worked for him, when he paid so much and everything was set for him, it can work for us also. And it can work for any person. It is that solution that we need to adopt. And we need to work on increasing this consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, he does nothing. And now she goes away next day. He goes to the shop and she comes back after some time. Maybe the next day or after a few days she comes back to the shop. Now he looks at her and he says, Ish, what you did, man? What an opportunity, you mad man. What's wrong with you? How could you just leave it out? What an it came in your plate. Right there in your plate and you left it. Until Junaid Amisari As-Sakati, you're acting like such a big buzruk. Like Junaid Baghdadi and Sari Sakati. Now what terms, you're acting like Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali. So big buzruk. Come on man, you can do it and make tawbah afterwards. We'll worry about it later. Now we just go with the flow. Enjoy the moment. We'll worry about it later. So now this thought now is haunting him. Now this is shaitan. It's not going to stop. We need to understand that. It's not going to stop. You can become how pious, that thing is still going to trouble you. Yes, it will be less, maybe. But the thought of haram is going to come. It's going to trouble. That's khannas, shaitan, that's his job. So, the thought is coming again. So, this girl comes, and the old woman is there, and you can see they're very pulled up. You wasted our time. They got the matcha. But anyway, waste of time. So, he goes to that woman, old woman, he says, come on, make a plan again. She says, price has gone up now. Inflation. No more 50, now 100 gold coins. No problem, I'm ready, 100 gold coins. He pays 100 gold coins. Exactly same thing happened. We haven't got the time to go into the whole details of it. Exactly same thing happened. Everything ready. The opportune moment, at that time that thought again comes. Ama tastahi min Allah? Aren't you ashamed of Allah? How can you be doing something like this? He stops. He pulls back again. Now, he lets her go. Again she comes to the shop. The same thing. You're acting like such a pious person. So now he speaks to the old woman. Now come on, now I'm serious about it. He says, I have to. This is my ambition, my lifelong dream. I have to get it. So she tells him, now it's 500 gold coins. Now what did he invest? 500 gold coins. And he came to recoup his money. But he says, come what may, never mind, I'll suffer the loss. But I need this. He says, all right. But around that same time, there was an announcement made that the peace treaty between the Muslims and the Crusaders has terminated and all Muslims must leave the land, the territory of the Crusaders and go back. So now, He had to get whatever money he was owed, was outstanding. He got all that money, and now he goes back. As he goes back, now because there wasn't that open relationship between the two empires, so prices began to increase now in the Muslim land. So he came to Damascus, under Muslim control, prices went up, cotton price went up. So he sold his cotton and he made a lot of money. A lot of money now he made, with that whatever was left over. And because of that, now he went into a new business, into the business of slave girls. That thought is still there. He's still mad in love with that woman. It's not gone. It's not deleted. So he says, you know what, let me now get into the business of slave girls. Now don't think we can go into this business. There's no business like this anymore. In those days it was in vogue. Slavery was in vogue. So he thought, if I get involved in this business, maybe it will make me forget of the past and that woman's thought will leave me. So he got involved now in slavery. Now he's seeing slave girls all the time because he was buying them and selling them, until finally Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah, he finally defeated the crusaders, and at that time he wanted a slave girl. So they came to his shop, his people came and they chose one. She was worth 100 gold coins. The king of the time only had 90 gold coins to pay. So he couldn't pay the 10. So he tells his people, alright, tell him, must go to the prisoners, the crusader prisoners are here. Go there and he can choose whichever prisoner he wants. He goes there and his luck, he sees her standing there. That same one. She's standing there in front of him. So now, he takes her. But how much is outstanding to him? 10 gold coins. He takes her in lieu of 10 gold coins. The mother said 500. He's getting her for 10. He takes her, he asks her, you know who I am? Who you? I don't know who you are. Sometimes the girl acts like that also. When she found another one, then she said, you, I don't know who you are. Because she wants to dump you. But anyway, she says, who you? He says, I'm the same one that you all told me I'll only get you with 500. Now I got you with 10. When she hears this, she says, I want to accept Islam. She accepts Islam. And now she says, I want to marry you. He goes to the Qadi, the nikah is performed. She's married to him, she falls pregnant. At that time now an announcement is made that there is some type of agreement that has been made between the crusaders and the Muslims. There's an exchange of prisoners. So all crusader prisoners have to be sent back. This man is in Gabarat. He finally, after so much of difficulty, got what he wanted. And now he has to send her back. So he's worried. She asks him, what's happening? He says, this is what happened. She says, don't worry, I'll sort it out. Take me to them, those people that have come to take back the prisoners, take me there. She goes there and she tells them, see, I don't need to come back. I'm a Muslim now. And I'm expecting with this man's child, the child in my stomach is a Muslim. I don't want to go back. Alright, if you don't want to go back, it's your option. We can't force you. Then they leave. As they leave, someone comes to call them quickly. Your mother sent something for you. One bag of yours. So, she takes the bag. When they take the bag home and open the bag, that 50 gold coins were still there intact. The 100 gold coins were still there intact. Allah gave him the same thing in a halal manner. She's the wife. Allah gave him the money back also. This is the barakat and the blessings of staying away from haram. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimullah, after writing this incident, he says, "Man affa anil harami tadayyunan, razaqahu Allahu iyyahu halalan." The lesson that we learn, when a person stays away from haram, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah, out of your fear I'm staying away. That is a breaking system. Allah will bless it to him, or even better than that, Allah will give him in a halal manner. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very generous. When you make some sacrifice for Allah, Allah will definitely repay you. You think, in this time of great challenges, if we have to stay away from haram, out of the fear of Allah, Allah is going to allow us to remain like that. Allah won't pay us back. Akhirat will get paid back. In this dunya also, Allah will pay us back. Allah will bless us so much, we won't even be able to understand. And then this person tells that governor that she prepared the food. The food you ate is from her also. She cooked that food also. So this is that breaking system. The breaking system of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will stop us from every type of haram. There are many, many other incidents of this nature. People who were in this kind of position and they stayed away, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the thing that stopped them from haram. If we bring this again, once again in our life, all the time remind ourselves, Allah is watching you, Allah is watching me. And we continuously remind ourselves, we make dhikr all the time with this kind of frame of mind. And inshallah, this will strengthen in us. And this will be a means of us stopping from haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to stay away from all his disobedience. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.